Jeremy in Kentucky here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate, send the fundage, keep free speech alive. You can donate a variety of different ways. Make your check or money order payable to RBN, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3, with your debit or credit. Set up a recurring donation, $5-$10 a month, and give them something to bank on, literally. Patrick Slattery, welcome to the Patrick and Jeremy Show.
Well, thank you for having me, Jeremy.
Oh, it's always good. You know, we're going into the fourth. No, the Patrick and Jeremy Show has been going on for 5 years.
Many, many years.
May of 2019. I remember it was when I was calling into your show, and we would have such long discussions and no other callers that I was saying, you know, if we don't watch it, they're going to call National Bugle the Patrick and Jeremy Show.
Well, there you go.
And it was born. Yeah, it was back when you were on with Collett. He has two or three different names for his shows in the last 6 years or so. At the time of 2019, was it This Week in the Alt-Right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it was. So you were doing that show live on Wednesday, so we would record Tuesday night. And here we are 5 years later recording on a Tuesday night. Isn't it funny?
My, how the time flies.
So, speaking of flying, this year is flying by already. We're going into March. It's an election year, but it just feels weird. This year feels very, very weird. Nothing has felt the same since 2020. And we just have this water hose, this fire hydrant of news of, and it's been loosened and it's just spraying all over the place. So much so that it's hard to kind of figure out what to focus on. And then you have stuff that's just going on and on and on, like the Russia-Ukraine conflict, and now the Israeli genocide of Palestinians. It looks like it's going to go on for a while. I don't see any end in sight. So let's sort of get our bearings here and figure out what we're doing. I wanted to ask you about this before we get deep into those issues. Victoria Nuland, I caught a news headline that she was retiring. I mean, is she finally getting flack from this Russia-Ukraine thing? Because she's sort of known as the architect of it. Is that fair to say that she's known as the architect of it?
It's absolutely fair. She is known as the architect, and she absolutely is the architect. And I will just say that there's nobody who's been screaming louder about Victoria Nuland than myself. I've been you can go back on the davidduke.com website and can find articles, certainly going back to 2013. But I'm pretty sure that David and I were talking to her about her ever since, from as soon as I got on his show in 2012, in the autumn of 2012. But we've been talking about her forever. And I would say, she never got higher than the acting number two person at the State Department. She was there in an acting capacity for about 6 months until a couple of weeks ago, when that acting position was finally filled by actually somebody who's pretty closely associated with her. And so she'd been the number three person at the State Department for the past 3 years. She's had a lot of roles in the State Department, but I would still say, despite her relative lack of rank, that she's the most important foreign policy maker, most important American foreign policy maker of the 21st century. I think you'd really have to go back to Henry Kissinger to find somebody who was as consequential as Victoria Nuland, and all in a bad way. Everything's a negative.
So 3 years ago, we were trying to figure out who's running things because we knew it wasn't Biden. And we were talking about Nuland and Blinken. I think probably Nuland maybe at the top. Blinken coming in, you know, if you would want to call it a second in command, there's always a pecking order. There's always in everything, in nature, and especially in government and military. So I mean, she may be the most powerful woman in America or person in America.
She, you know, depending on how you want to define power, but she was the most consequential, the most important in terms of foreign policy. So you had the State Department. And the State Department looks—it's in charge of all foreign policy. Although the Defense Department can also, at times, if Defense Department might eclipse the State Department, at times the National Security Council might eclipse the State Department. You also have the CIA; they're all involved in this foreign policy making apparatus. But under the fake Biden administration, the main the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, who used to play, he wasn't Cornelius on Planet of the Apes. I can't remember which role he had on Planet of the Apes. But his role in the fake Biden administration has been to purge the military of straight white men. And he's doing a good job. My goodness, there was this... who sent it to me? I think Mark Dankoff sent me this video of some tranny, some man in earrings and a woman's military uniform with not the necktie, but some sort of bow, in a really lispy voice, saying how important it is that when servicemen send emails that they list their pronouns, especially if they think they don't need to, right? And so I wrote back to Mark. I said, "You go, girl. I mean, airman. I mean, air thing," because it was wearing a Air Force uniform. But sorry to break the news to you.
No, I mean, you shouldn't be able to say airman anymore. I was in the Air Force for the better part of 2 decades.
How about air thing?
What's that?
Air thing.
Air thing. I mean, that's, yeah. Air apparatus. I mean, so airman is like the general term, like soldier, right? So you would call a colonel a soldier, a general a soldier, or a private a soldier. And the same thing with, you know, you would call airman. And soldier is kind of like, you know, it is.
Hello? We're having a connection issue. Are we okay?
Yeah. My Wi-Fi just went out. Okay. Can you still hear me?
You get very loud and clear now, Airman.
Okay. Let's try it like this, and you can edit that out. What I was saying is airman is very specific, just like seaman. Now, okay, that was a joke. Really, seaman means man of the sea, or it could even mean person of the sea. Then you got soldier and marine. Okay, so women or non-binary can be in the Army, in the Marines, or in the Navy. And that term could refer to them in general, seaman, marine, soldier. But airman... No, you can't do that. You're going to have to change that. That's just a little aside to show the ridiculousness of this crap.
Yeah. So it is ridiculous. But at any rate, I only raise that because I'm saying that the top brass at the Pentagon are there for diversity. They're not there for policymaking. And I'm not sure how really on board they are with the policy, but they don't have a whole lot of say in the policy. You've got the National Security Council, this Jake Sullivan guy, and I guess he has a degree in foreign policy, but maybe he has a master's degree in foreign affairs or international relations or something. But he's more of a political hack. He worked on the Biden campaign, but I'm sure the National Security Council is infested with all sorts of people and bad ideas. But Victoria Nuland, you just go back in her career, and of course she's been kind of a co-leader of the State Department. I mean, Tony Blinken outranks her, but during the fake Biden administration, the most important foreign policy has been that towards Russia and Ukraine. And that is absolutely Victoria Nuland's territory. She speaks Russian. Tony Blinken speaks French, which I guess is, you know, it comes in handy when he wants to go in Paris and make out with Macron. But Victoria Nuland speaks Russian. That's her background. And then you go back to, and she's been in the State Department since she graduated from university, with the exception of the 4 years that Trump was president. He kicked her out on his inauguration day. That is one thing you can always credit Trump for, because Victoria Nuland's just been causing as many problems as possible. In the second Obama term, she overthrew the government of Ukraine and accelerated this push towards using Ukraine as a sacrificial lamb to overthrow Vladimir Putin. Before that, she had been the ambassador to NATO. So you hear about this 2008 Bucharest conference where Ukraine and Georgia, former Soviet Georgia, were invited to apply for membership to NATO. Well, who was the U.S. ambassador to NATO for the 3 years leading up to that conference? It was Victoria Nuland. And then you go back before, what was she doing before that? She was the State Department supplied foreign policy advisor to Dick Cheney. Now that, you know, she would have been talking about Putin and whatnot, but that wasn't so important back then. What was Dick Cheney up to at that time? He was up to the Iraq War. And who's Victoria Nuland's husband? Victoria Nuland's husband is Robert Kagan, one of the two co-founders of the Project for a New American Century, which created the blueprint for these Zio wars of the early 21st century. So, I mean, she has been at everything. She's at the root of all evil. I don't like to use the word evil, but she's really been very, very influential. Now, we should celebrate her retirement. I'm sure she's pushed out. She wouldn't have just voluntarily retired. By the way, last, I think it was my Friday show, I gave a long, I proofread an article, a long article I had written about a speech she had made a few days earlier to the Center for Strategic and International Studies. And that was a speech that somebody who is planning on retiring in 10 days would not have given. It was a very aggressive speech. She was calling on Congress to approve this $60 billion more in aid for Ukraine because we need to give Putin nasty surprises. And plus, it's going to create good paying jobs for people who work at weapons manufacturers in 40 American states. And then also talked about the great success, how hard Ukraine is winning. Oh, they're winning so hard. They've destroyed half of Russia's land forces. So I think it was really just too much. It was too aggressive. And I have the feeling that people like Blinken and Sullivan, who are a little bit more in tune with domestic politics, both of whom worked on Joe Biden's electoral campaign in 2000 or in 2020, that they don't want to keep throwing good money after bad in Ukraine, that they still see the Biden entity as having a chance at winning or cheating his way back into the White House, and need to get rid of what do you call it? Not bad vibes, bad optics, Nuland. And so I think she got pushed out. The one question I have, and this is something that's really difficult to investigate, is to what position she had on Gaza and how much she was involved in that. Because, I've always tried to follow that. It seems that her career, at least over the past 10 years or so, 10, 11 years, has been focused on overthrowing Vladimir Putin. But she is married to Robert Kagan, Project for a New American Century. She's in this massive, she's married into this neocon family that is really dedicated to Israel. So I don't know. And she, over the past 7 months, not only did she have her number three job at the State Department, she also was concurrently the acting number two person. And so definitely she was involved in all sorts of policy towards Israel and Gaza. And my assumption, although I don't have the details on this, but my assumption is she probably was taking a hardline attitude towards supporting Netanyahu and genociding the Gazans. I don't have any citations for that. That's just my gut feeling based on her past and her family connections. So that's that. I'll kick it back to you, Jeremy.
If government, if this type of operation, let's call it that, is anything like the military, and I think that it is, what I've observed of politicians and government work, there is a certain amount of compartmentalization. So Newland, a leftist, defining leftist would be a Democrat that really focuses more on, you know, the social issues and social justice for
Blacks. I don't know if she's a Democrat. I would just identify her as a Jew or a neocon.
Okay, so definitely neocon. Well, what I was getting at is, you know, that's her job. Her task was Ukraine and the overthrow of Putin. You know, they have the Republicans and the Democrats, for that matter, but especially the pro-Israel Republicans, to, you know, push the whole genocide of Gaza thing. And her job was that. So, you know, the Biden entity in that administration is already losing all kinds of core support over this Gaza thing from their base. They definitely don't lose support over the Ukraine stuff. So I think the point you're making is very valid. And it didn't really occur to me that, yeah, they're getting rid of her here just before the election. You know, getting rid of her, or she decides to step down, either way, that it's the outcome is the same. She's leaving because, A, you know, she did go overboard on that last speech, as you pointed out. But also, this Ukraine debacle, and I call it that because it was a debacle on the part of the West, in trying to overthrow Putin, they hurt themselves, they hurt the West, and they caused a huge political realignment of the globe and a power shift to, you know, BRICS, Russia, and China. That's really what the Ukraine thing caused. And now it's losing all kinds of support from the, you know, from their constituents over funding it. So the whole thing is just a failed mission. It was a totally failed mission. And she's the head of it. She's the face of it.
And I'm alone. Skin. Yeah, chill me to the bone.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Constituents over funding it. So the whole thing is just a failed mission. It was a totally failed mission. And she's the head of it. She's the face of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Oh, she, you know, the thing is, typically the number three person, what is that? The, I think it's called the Assistant Secretary of State for Policy, something like that. That the occupant of that post is typically not a household name. It might be somebody that like foreign policy nerds are familiar with, but it's not typically a household name. Victoria Nuland, to the extent that anybody follows anything of you know, what's going on in the world, is a household name. I mean she's become a household name. People know her very, very well. Just like you know, typically the Assistant Secretary of Defense or the Deputy Secretary of Defense isn't a household name, but Paul Wolfowitz was. So sometimes you get these people who are sub-cabinet positions, but they are, you know, they're big for their britches or whatever. And she was certainly one of them. And people recognized her as being in charge of this, as being the key person in this Ukraine project. People recognized her as being the president of Ukraine's boss. I think that she was pretty widely recognized for that. And, you know, Stephen F. Cohen was talking about this back in the Obama administration, that, you know, he's talking about her role. So even back then, Biden, I know Biden used to go hang out with her in her office because Biden, as vice president, had been given the vice president has very few constitutional duties. So the president can just say, okay, you're like the Biden unit has told chlamydia, you're the border czar. It's, I don't know what she thought she was getting into, but that hasn't worked out so well for anybody. And so Obama made Biden the Ukraine point man. And of course, Biden knows nothing about Ukraine, knows nothing about Russia, knows nothing about that, except how to enrich his family through corrupt dealings. And so he was over in Victoria Nuland's office, and she was I'm sure she was smoothing the way, introducing him to people that could be introduced to his brother and to his son. And meanwhile, Victoria Nuland had all of the authority of Vice President Biden in shaping foreign policy, which included overthrowing the government of Ukraine.
Yeah, I looked her up. I was going to see if she had a political affiliation. I don't see anything. That's kind of, I just assumed that she was a Democrat. But I mean, she served under Clinton, and as you mentioned, Clinton, Bush, the younger Obama, and then got ousted in 2017.
Dick Cheney's foreign policy aide. So the, she's not really a she's not somebody who is strictly a political appointee. She is a Foreign Service officer. She would have passed the Foreign Service exam back in like the mid-1980s. She had early posts at the American Consulate office in Guangzhou, in China, near Hong Kong. I went to Guangzhou at about the same time she would have been there, and it was very, very primitive at the time. Not as primitive as a lot of other places in China, but it was pretty primitive. She was she helped establish the U.S. Diplomatic office in Mongolia. So I mean, she is somebody who has a State Department, a career State Department official, and just rose in the ranks, but rose pretty fast. So by the time she was, well, I don't know if it's that fast, but I would say pretty fast. I mean, when she's 40 years old, she's the vice president's foreign policy advisor supplied by the State Department. At 45 or so, or 43, she's the U.S. ambassador to NATO. Yeah, she had a pretty fast-tracked career, and she's had a lot of important jobs. She was the State Department spokeswoman, and she was the what they call the chief of staff. I don't even know what that job at the State Department chief of staff does, but she's just had a whole bunch of important jobs over the years. It's just that she was close enough to Clinton. She was pretty close to Hillary and would likely have been her Secretary of State had Hillary won the fake election. But she wasn't able to fake it enough. And Trump, to his credit, I mean, Trump's made disastrous personnel decisions, but on his inauguration day, he took time out from dancing with his lovely wife to fire Victoria Nuland. And you got to give credit where credit's due.
And so when we talk about Jewish power, this is the exact type of person we're talking about. This is one of the faces of it. This is someone who operates on an agenda, who's obviously intelligent and has held a lot of power and been able to influence powerful people. And I would say that the agenda since the early aughts has been the PNAC agenda, the Greater Israel. And, you know, I would suppose that Russia stood in the way of that.
Yeah, and what's PNAC? There's no one taking your place since you've been
gone. I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Go to RepublicBroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button.
like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Memory, your limelight is burning holes. Recover the damage. Bring it all home.
The agenda since the early aughts has been the PNAC agenda, the Greater Israel. And, you know, I would suppose that Russia stood in the way of that.
Yeah, and what's PNAC?
Project for New American Century.
Yeah, founded by her husband.
Right, and that was to overthrow and cause turmoil in Middle Eastern countries, basically to get the Greater Israel, the Yedad Onan plan. And so, you know, Russia, with its support of Iran and Syria, sort of stood in the way of that. And, you know, plus there was a personal score to settle. So, but she has failed in her ultimate undertaking. So I think that was the point. So the article that I've sent on CNN covering this says that the current ambassador to NATO, Julianne Smith, is expected to be nominated to replace a new one. What do we got on her?
I don't have anything in particular on her, except that she's the current ambassador to NATO. And what's been going on at NATO? NATO has been waging a proxy war against Russia. So whoever is the American ambassador to NATO is coordinating all of these European countries sending aid to Ukraine. So, you know, she's absolutely, if she was somebody who wasn't on board with the Victoria Nuland Ukraine war project, we would know about it. We would know that there was somebody at NATO, you know, the U.S. ambassador to NATO was pushing back. That obviously hasn't happened. And that person is replacing Victoria Nuland in the number three position. At the number two position, Victoria Nuland, so last summer, Wendy Sherman retired. Now, Wendy Sherman, I don't know, she was the number two person at the State Department for the first part of the fake Biden administration. And she had been the number three person in that number three job during Obama's second term. And I don't know, like, really how much into policy she was. She's Jewish. But she doesn't, like, Victoria Nuland studied either international relations or history or Slavic studies or something at Brown University and then entered the State Department. Wendy Sherman, who is a good 10 years older, Wendy Sherman was a social worker in Baltimore. She was a social worker. She didn't have any background, maybe, you know, counseling gang members or pregnant teenage girls or something like that. That was her background. But she got involved in Barbara Mikulski's campaign. I don't think Barbara Mikulski, who was a senator from Maryland in the 80s, I don't think she was Jewish. I think she was Polish Catholic. But anyway, Wendy Sherman, through getting involved with this senator, wound up meeting Madeleine Albright, who is Jewish, very Jewish. And Madeleine Albright brought her into the State Department to deal with North Korea. I guess Madeleine Albright thought that black teenage mothers and gang members are like North Koreans. So, you know, what could go wrong? But at any rate, I don't know how much Wendy Sherman's job, there was this guy, Kurt Campbell, who was eventually nominated to fill it. But it took a long time for the Senate to confirm him. They ultimately did. So for about 7 months, Victoria Nuland was filling in that job. And then just a couple of weeks ago, Kurt Campbell was sworn in. Kurt Campbell is a few years older. He's about 4 years older than Victoria Nuland. And if you look at his career, it's a very similar career. And he's also a career State Department person, although he left at some point. Maybe about 10 years ago he left, but he had a lot of important positions at the State Department, a lot of the same positions that Victoria Nuland had. And then when he was when he left, he ran this, what was it called? The Center for a New American Security, New American. That's kind of like the Nuland Kagan family's trademark term, New American. And so, that was like a neocon think tank. That when Victoria Nuland was out of office, she ran that think tank. Well, either before her or after her, Kurt Campbell ran that think tank. And if you look at Kurt Campbell's Wikipedia page and you see the books, he's authored four or five books, and he has co-authors on almost all of them. And the co-authors are mostly hideous Jews who are just like hideous foreign policy bad news Jews. They're the bad news Jews. And so Kurt Campbell, while he's not Jewish himself, we can't celebrate Victoria Nuland's departure very long because this Campbell's coming in. The only thing, what my guess is, Campbell's specialty is instead of like Jewing the Middle East and Jewing Russia, his specialty is more like Jewing China. And what I have a suspicion is that the fake Biden administration in the run up to the fake election is going to be backing off of Ukraine, blaming it on Trump and the House Republicans because they didn't pass the $60 billion in aid when Ukraine was winning so hard and had destroyed half of Russia's army. But backing away and blaming the Democrats for that, trying to somehow distance himself from Bibi to the extent that he can, being a Zionist, and pivot to China, to Jewing China. And I think Campbell's going to be bad news on that. And of course, the uniformed military, these people who have completely internalized Jewish enemies and Jewish priorities, to the extent that they're more logical about it than the Jews themselves. They say, well, wait a minute, why are we concerned about Iran or Russia when China's is the big enchilada? Well, China is the big enchilada, but there's no reason why we need to be hostile to China. China's not the one causing our problems. But if you're especially if you're a flag officer in the military, and the only way you can get to be a flag officer is being confirmed by the Senate. By the way, are they all pedophiles and homos or just some of them? I'm not straight on that.
Well, we're going to bet. I would bet on they all are, but because you got to have some kind of leverage, even if they're not at the core, even if that's not their desire, they're going to get some kind of leverage on them, Epstein style. So that was my next question. You sort of started answering it. What is the next step? It's obvious they're not going to take Russia down. Putin's, you know, probably going to grow old in office. And so the name of the game is damage control, right? You bring Trump in, you keep empowering Israel, you try to kick up hostilities with Iran and Trump, the negotiator, it will be expected to negotiate America's role and stake in the Belt and Road. How does that sound?
Well, that's kind of a best case scenario when you get down to it. If the things fall apart for Biden, and it'll be interesting to see what happens tonight in Super Tuesday. We can talk about that maybe a little bit in the Patrick and Jeremy show to the extent we've got. We might start getting some interesting results by then.
I think
if by next January, the status of the United States, the position of the United States in the international system is going to be down a couple of notches. And it's possible that Trump would be the right person to negotiate some sort of decent outcome for the defeated party. You know, after the in 1815, there was the Conference of Paris, where Napoleon had been defeated after a couple of decades of French armies marching all over Europe. And I forgot the French diplomat who was in charge of these negotiations, but somehow he even though Napoleon had lost and been utterly defeated, this French diplomat was able to negotiate a decent settlement for Paris, for France. And maybe Trump's the right type of person to oversee a dismembering of NATO and American acquiescence in some of these new institutions like the road. Who knows? We'll see. Or maybe he would become president and his administration will just be hijacked by the same scheming Jews that hijacked his first administration.
I mean, Trump is sort of the king of bankrupt businesses, sort of known for doing that and then, you know, bringing it all back together and coming out on top somehow.
Yeah,
kind of always.
And you know, so, I'm saying Jews. I know my rhetoric sometimes sounds really harsh on the Jews. I don't even dislike the Jews, and I don't even want to extreme accountability. I'm not calling for extreme accountability on Victoria Nuland or anyone else. I do think it would be appropriate for her to sit in the corner for a very long time with a dunce cap on. And I think Mike Rivero would back me up on that.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
It does seem like harsh rhetoric, but there it is. We've just pretty much laid it out. Nuland and Kagan have been sort of the orchestrators of the chaos that we've seen, and war-wise, Middle East-wise, and now Russia-Ukraine-wise for the last 20 years. Interesting that.
Yeah.
So we were talking election stuff. I guess I'll get back to the prep. If you have exhausted this.
I think we've exhausted. I'm sure we'll be getting back to it because it is this State Department shakeup is a big deal. We'll get back to it at some point for sure.
Like my slow phone is getting back to the prep tonight. And I've got the circle of death. I caught one interesting Skype article. Skype sends me articles now. I don't know if it does you. But SCOTUS was ruling that Trump could not be stricken from the ballot in Colorado. And I noticed Illinois is pulling the same stunt. We got a person here.
I think the wording of the... Okay, so it was a unanimous ruling to overturn the Colorado decision. But I think there were three different opinions that were written. So one was written by the five men on the... There's five men, right? One was written by the five men, and that was the hardest core. And that's a majority right there. And that, I think the way it was worded makes it a precedent. And so it also will overturn Maine and Illinois and any other state.
I was just going to mention down in the MSNBC article, the ruling makes it clear that Congress, not the states, has to set the rules on how the 14th Amendment provision can be enforced against federal office seekers.
Yeah.
That would make sense. The 14th Amendment is federally forced on the states, right?
Right. Right. And then Coney Island Baby, she had her own opinion that was a little bit watered down. And then the Sotomayor, and the women of color and Judaism, Sotomayor, Kagan, and Letitia Jackson, or whatever her name is, they had something that was even more watered down, but still overturned the Colorado law.
So this is going to be interesting, because with this same precedent, because child trannies and trannyism and homos, they all exist under the 14th Amendment. So any state legislation that's challenged that, you know, prohibits trannies from performing in front of children or in public places, things of that nature, library story hour, those legislations could be overturned under the same circumstances. Am I reading that wrong?
I don't know.
Right, because the federal government enforces the 14th Amendment, not the states. The states have no grounds on that. So that's just the first thing that popped in my head when I was reading this and listening to your explanation.
That maybe. I read the Constitution and all, but in terms of Supreme Court rulings and whatnot, it's not really my field.
And it's interesting that SCOTUS kicked the abortion issue back to states' rights, but not this. That's an interesting thing too. I sort of was making a little prediction Monday night that, as the states get more rights and the federal government becomes less relevant, that we could see a Soviet-style breakup. But this ruling makes me think otherwise.
We'll see. Well, anyway, I have pulled up the Super Tuesday page at AP News. AP, which calls elections. I think that's somewhere written in the Constitution that the AP, that the friendly Jews at the AP are the final word on our elections for our democracy. And so AP...
We'll just throw it under the 14th Amendment and everything else is.
Yeah, why not? We've got North Carolina. Well, North Carolina, who cares about the governor race? Watch, the AP calls the first races of Super Tuesday. They've got Joe Biden wins the Democratic primary in Maine. Donald Trump wins presidential primary in Maine. Nikki Haley got 26% of the vote. So he beat Nikki Haley by like 46 points. Biden wins in Massachusetts, but interestingly, no preference, none of the above got 19%. Biden only got 73%. So Dean Phillips and then crazy Jewish lady Marianne Williamson got 3.5. So let's see. Do we have Oklahoma? Oklahoma, Trump wins Oklahoma, beats Haley by 67 points. Biden beats his opponents, his leading opponent, by about the same, 67 points. Let's see. North Carolina is called for Trump. What else? Do we have any other calls? Joe Biden wins in Tennessee, but he didn't have any opponents on the ballot. Donald Trump wins Tennessee by 45 points. And let's see, Josh Stein. Who's Josh Stein? It's obviously a very Jewy name. He's won the nomination to be the Democratic nominee for governor.
Sometimes when your hopes have all been shattered, still with a journey. Wonder how you keep going. Think of all the things that really matter and the chances you earn.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Traveler's Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email tom@republicbroadcasting.org. tom@republicbroadcasting.org.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Let's see, I'm Josh Stein. Who's Josh Stein? It's obviously a very Jewy name. He's won the nomination to be the Democratic nominee for governor. Who cares about this stuff? Donald Trump wins the Republican primary in North Carolina. We just said that. Anything else? I guess that's about it for now. We'll have more on part two.
Right. And of course, they could replace Biden at any point right up to the convention.
They can replace him after the convention. It might be, in certain ways, easier if they wait too long after the convention, however. And I have the feeling that the convention's in August. The party in power usually has a convention in August. But if they wait too long afterwards, being that they're doing all this mail-in balloting, those mail-in ballots do have to be printed and sent out. And, you know, they're going to start sending out these mail-in ballots like in September. So if they wait too long to replace him, and they've got, you know, let's just say they have Gavin Awesome, they replace him with Gavin Awesome, but the mail-in ballots all have Joe Biden's name printed on them, that's going to backfire.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, they could, and they don't have to rally their base. The Democrats don't have to really rally their base or constituents. They just got to rally the people that financially contribute, and it could all be done in the name of stopping Trump. Look, Trump is going to, you know, plow through and get it. We've got to replace Biden in the name of stopping Trump. And again, they're not, I mean, I see the Democrats collapsing because of the Israel-Palestine thing. The core of their party is completely disenfranchised.
So
that's going to show.
I read an article or opinion piece written by John Poteritz, whatever the name is. And he's a Jew. He's the son of, what was it, Norman Poteritz, one of these original founders of the neocon movement. So John Poteritz, close associate with the Kagan family, you know, so he's from that ilk. And he wrote an article about how important it is to replace Biden, yet how difficult it is. Because as a practical matter, Biden is winning all these delegates. This is today's Super Tuesday. He's winning all of these delegates that are pledged to him. So who can actually knock him out of the race? And basically, it's his wife Jill, and I don't know. I think he mentioned some Jew. I can't remember who it was, but if Biden doesn't bow out, it's really tough. You might wind up getting something like a 25th Amendment thing going on. It's just going to be tough. And if this is done in an acrimonious way, like, it's one thing if Biden just says, you know, folks, I need to retire and spend more time with my dog or whatever. People, you know, then Gavin and Anthem could come in and take on the mantle and maybe have a honeymoon and do all right. But if it's done with acrimony and that's almost going to guarantee Trump's victory. So it's tough. They're in a difficult place, but it couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of people.
Ain't that right? We've got to be coming up on the final few minutes.
Oh, we are.
Which we.
I think we can stick a fork in it and send it on to RBN.
Let's do that. It was unusually classy. We've just been right down to business and haven't had time to make crude jokes. But thank you for joining me, Patrick, and do continue to stay classy.
I'll continue to stay classy, and I will do my best not to sound too harsh on the Jews. But, you know, somebody's got to talk about them, and it's kind of my brand.
It is. All right. Tune in tomorrow for Patrick and Jeremy. See you on the B-roll. 12 noon.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.